It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. That's what I want to talk about. We're going to go to work. The Great Commission is what we always talk about in Matthew 28:18-20. We call it that because it is the sign and the symbol of us moving forward. It's a sign and symbol of us moving forward. Jesus stands before his disciples. All power, King James said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. I don't like King James that much because it's incomplete. That's why you study. When you study the text, power is not power, it's authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Everybody wants power, but everybody don't know that authority trumps power. Jesus looks at his disciples that have been running, hiding, and everything else after he died. Men that struggled with staying true to their call. Some of y'all don't want to hear this, but you know, even when you're committed to God, sometimes you have trouble staying committed to it. Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter had great revelation. Peter had great understanding. Peter didn't have to struggle with it. But even when the time came and they arrested him, even though he told Jesus he wouldn't, and Jesus told him, you would, he denied him. Cussed folk out for trying to associate him with Jesus. Peter failed. And Jesus knew it. But even Jesus said, but when you return, I've already prayed for you. I know you're going to fail. I know you're going to fail. Ain't that some good news? The Lord already knows there are times when you are going to fail. You're going to flunk in this thing, okay? That's grace. He know you're going to fail. There's some times you ain't going to make it. Folk going to test you. Say some crazy stuff to you. And some days you just ain't going to come up with the right wording. I just helped some of y'all. Now don't continue in bad language. But know that there is grace if you remember it. He knew that Peter was going to fail. But he said, I prayed for you. Because I know that when I pray for you, I know this, you're going to return. And when you return, you'll be able to go back out and strengthen the brothers.
Yes.
He gets up. Jesus, out of grave. The women that went to prepare his body saw him first. They ran to the disciples and said, you know what? He's up.
Amen.
You sure? Oh, yeah, he up. And they were in a locked room, and then all of a sudden, Jesus came through a locked door.
Yeah.
Locked up. Everything locked up. Came through. Came through and said, yeah, I'm back. Thomas didn't believe it and stopped calling him Doubting Thomas. The man watched his Savior die.
All right.
So he needed to see the evidence of what he saw. I thank God someone got some good theology. Thomas wasn't a doubter. Thomas watched his Savior die. And when you watch somebody go through what Jesus went through, and all of a sudden they come back to you and say to you that I made it through that, you're like, wait a minute. I watched you die. I watched you suffer. I watched you go through. Let me see the prince. And we saw the prince. And Jesus said, you're blessed because you saw the evidence. But blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Listen, they were going through all this, but there was something else happening. Something else that was going on the backside that they didn't know about. There were some other people that saw the evidence that Jesus got up. And there were some soldiers that were waiting by the grave. And they gave the report to the government. Said, listen, I know what you did. We were there. You sealed it up. You put a government seal on it. We were standing right there. But I don't care what you did. That guy got up. And what did they do? They said, you know what? We can't ever let anybody know.
Hallelujah.
That he got up. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take this money. You're going to hush. And you're going to tell somebody else that his disciples stole the body. Whatever you do. Don't let nobody know. That we couldn't keep that man down. But here we are, thousands of years later, and we're still telling a story about something we ain't never seen. So under the scrutiny of a lie and the witness of the truth, Jesus gathers his disciples one last time and says, listen, y'all got work to do. I got all authority. So now, I send you. Go and make disciples. You baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to observe what I taught you. Not what others taught you, but what I taught you. You got it straight from me. You tell them what I told you. And here's the best part. I'm going to be with you. Until the end of the age. We announced our one mission here at Wesley Church of Hope. And I know some people have taken it to heart. Gone out, sought people already, and tried to talk to folk, at least one person, just to see if they would be able or desire to come and be in the fellowship just to experience what God is doing here. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing it because I'm going to always check in on it. But the heart of the one mission is this, is already rooted in what this text is telling us, that we have an experience with God. And when you have an experience, an encounter with God, you and I are not just obligated, but we are pushed to tell folk about the unfiltered experience with God. You and I don't come to church just to sit idly by. Now, we can talk about being idle within the time period of worship, and we always try to fight folk to get up on their feet. And yes, you ought to have a moment every once in a while to thank God while you're in the space. But even after the thanking of God, after the tears have fallen from your eyes, all of us, every last one of us, we got some work to do. God has called us not to just be good in here, but to go out there and be a witness. And to be a witness, it don't take much. All it takes is for you and I to live this thing out and do the best we can and let the Lord lead us in the process. God has already told us through his Son that we have all authority resting in Jesus, and Jesus has given us everything we need to be able to go out and do the work. Jesus did all the work of salvation, but when it comes to drawing people under Christ, Jesus said even before he died, if I be lifted up, I will draw. So we still got some work to do, and the work is lifting up Jesus. And I get it. Every church struggles with this from time to time. They try to figure out whose responsibility is it to take care of business. It should be the pastor's responsibility, because if the pastor preaches good enough and talks good enough, folk ought to come. But the truth is, after a while, folk get tired of the same old voice. Every once in a while, we got to adjust ourselves, and people will be like, well, we love the preaching, but every once in a while, we want to hear something different. So it must be on the people. And yeah, the people got something to do with it, because all of us have a responsibility under God. But every now and then, everybody gets tired, weary, and wore out, and you just try to do the best you can, and you don't know what to do. So what do we do, church, about getting the work done? What we got to do is get back to some basics. And in order to get back to basics, we got to look at what this is about. In order to go to work, we got to reconnect to Jesus Christ. We got to reconnect ourselves to the experience that brought us to this point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't come to Jesus, and I said this weeks ago, because someone told me that I was going to hell. I didn't come to Jesus for fire insurance. Came because I saw that Jesus actually loved me. So, for the last 26 years of my life, it has been my privilege to tell folk that the Lord is good. Y'all, okay, we were shouting off a song, but it's been my privilege as a believer for 26 years to tell folk that the Lord is good. Some of y'all got stories longer than mine, and every once in a while you need to revisit it. And the reason you need to revisit it is because you know good and doggone well that you are not here because you were that smart. You are not here because you know how to do religion. You're not here because you know how to be a good whatever. And notice I said, didn't say nothing about being United Methodist. It doesn't matter if you're not United Methodist, non-denominational, Baptist, whatever. The reality is when you encountered the Lord and you really had a turnaround moment with the Lord, something in your body, your mind, your spirit, everything changed. And when it changed, you were now given a job. And the job was just to tell somebody the truth. But I don't want to tell everybody about my truth. Because that'll mean that whatever folk think about me now might change. Let me set you free. Who cares? You serve a God that could care less about the opinions of others in regards to you. The word teaches us about us caring about God's thoughts towards us. My wife's favorite verse and becoming one of mine. For I know the plans that I have for you. Another translation, for I know the thoughts I have towards you. And you know, when God says, I got thoughts towards you, who cares if folk think you this and that? Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are God's ways our ways. For as high as the heavens are, so are God's thoughts above ours. So I don't worry about what you think of me. Y'all might go into the parking lot after church is over and say, that boy now, he done lost his mind. He done got a month in and he thought he done lost his mind. Well, good. Because that's how good God is. And because of that, I live under certain things that tell me that this is the right time to do real work for the kingdom. Why is it always a good time? Why am I in the right season? And why is this season the launch time to reach the world? One, because the Lord has endowed us with authority. If you're a disciple of Christ, you have access to all that Christ gives. Somebody caught it. If you're connected to Christ, you have access to everything Christ has. One more time for the Holy Ghost. If you're connected to Christ, you have access to everything that Christ has. Jesus said, all authority is mine. So you don't have to worry about what others may say. I have given you everything necessary to move about the earth and do what I need you to do. Ain't that good news? See, here's a funny thing that happens sometimes in the jobs that I've had and the job I have now. You know, in human resources, they tell everybody, there's certain things you shouldn't talk about. And usually there are these, there are at least these two things: politics and religion.
Yes, sir.
But somehow, I get in conversations with folk that want to talk about my faith.
Watch out.
And who am I to disappoint them when they want to talk about their faith? Because here is where fights start. Fights start when you talk about religion but not faith. Y'all missed it. HR said, don't talk about religion. What they saying is, don't talk about methodology to God.
Right.
What they didn't say was, don't talk about faith. Because I can talk about how I do my stuff all day long. And you may not agree with it. But then they got so PC that everybody has to be at least welcoming of everybody. So not talking about a thing ends up talking about a thing anyway, because you got to respect everybody. Which at the core of my faith as a believer in God is, I respect the fact that you were created in the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God. So because of that, I'm going to treat you out of that. And because God has given me authority, because I walk with Jesus, I'm going to walk in that and live in that, even if it offends you, and it shouldn't offend you, because loving you is not offensive. Can I preach it like I'm feeling? Every once in a while, you ought to be able to know that you're really not restricted by the stuff that people try to restrict you with. Hear me. If you're living like you ought to live, walking like you ought to walk, talking like you ought to talk, and doing what God says do, no matter what people come up with, it'll just come all the way off of you. And people will have to say, what is this that is on your life? And all you got to do is get up on your feet, look them straight in the eye, and let them know. You may not know what I know, but let me tell you, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not be here right now. Somebody ought to say yes. Stop walking around like you weak. Stop walking around like you ain't got nothing to say. Stop walking around like you ain't got no testimony. Stop walking around like you a punk. Stop walking around like you got nothing to do. Know that God is with you. He said, and lo, I'll be with you. Oh!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're endowed with authority. But two, you're energized with power.
Yes, sir.
I've already touched on it. Look at it. All authority's been given unto me.
Yes, sir.
Go and make this. Okay. Authority's been given to me. Go. All authority's been given unto me. So go. Now watch this. I'm going to add on something. All authority's been given to me. Go make. You missed it. I've been given authority. I got it all. So go make. Okay.
That's good.
That's good stuff. Okay. So when God created heavens and the earth and created the earth and all that was in it, and God said, let there be, and it was so. Right? God's thought was spoken. And the spoken thought came into being. Right? You got that? Then God said to God's self, let us make man in our image and likeness. You're going to miss this, and I'm going to bring you back, and I'll make sure you catch it. God said, we going to make a being in our image and likeness. Like, which means attributes similar to the source. And I will give you dominion, that's authority, over and you'll be able to name. So humanity was given authority and creativity. All authority has been given unto me. So now I give you that and the power to make. Now here is where we have messed up. Okay, let me slow it down for a second. Here's where the church has messed it up. Just because God gave us authority and power does not mean that as we create or make, that we make after our image. I feel like preaching. when those men were given those talents, that money, one with five, one with two, one with one, the master gave them the authority to oversee. Take and make this work. That's what he gave.
Yes.
And he gave according to their ability. Which means they weren't given the same burden, but they were given the same authority and the same access to do within their ability. So it doesn't matter if 100 folk come and they come because this one person has gone out and done a certain thing. Don't look at them. God has gifted them with certain gifts and graces. But God has given you the same access to the same authority and power. All God wants you to do is use it according to God's design. Make disciples not after you, but after me. So we need to quit trying to make folk after our image. That's called witchcraft. There are churches right now with a lot of witches. God has given you power. I have authority and power. I got it all. So since you know where it's coming from,
yes,
go in my authority, yes, make with my power. Make what? Disciples. You were discipled by me. I have given you the blueprint. Don't venture away from the blueprint trying to make folk like you. You go out and tell them how I made you like me, and tell them that if you walk like this according to Christ, watch what God will do. Go make. You got authority, you got power, and the last thing is you're granted a vision. Here's the vision. Go make disciples. How are you going to make the disciples? First, go make disciples. Teach. Teach all nations. Make disciples. A disciple is an apprentice. So an apprentice has to learn the process. You do not become an electrician without what? Apprenticeship. Am I right? I'm married to a woman whose father is an electrician. You do not become the well-paid electrician until you've had time to learn and hone the craft. So, here's the vision. Go and make disciples. But the vision is, you got to what? Teach them, baptize them, which culturally was set them up where they identify within the world who they follow. Yes. Baptism is not a Christian practice originally. Culturally, it was done many years before the beginnings of the church. It was established as a practice within Greek and Roman culture because it was to identify with whose philosophy you followed. So there were a lot of baptized people in philosophies. So now Jesus has given people who followed him a blueprint that worked within the culture where they were going to minister. In other words, God knows how to reach folk in the midst of culture. Go and make disciples. How do you do it? Baptize them, because people will have to know who they follow. Baptize them in what? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Okay, other folks say in the name of Jesus because it happened later in the New Testament. There's no conflict because the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus. No conflict. People want to act like they smart and they ain't too bright. Yes, I said it. Yes, you can spread it. Yes, you can post it on Facebook. Yes, you can tag me in it. I've said it to other folk, and guess what? They got mad and got over it. Because when you study the Bible for real, you'll find out that some of the stupid arguments shouldn't exist. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Watch this. Teaching them to observe everything I taught you. The vision is you go, you infiltrate the culture with the truth, and then as the truth hits them, you baptize them according to the truth they have received. And afterwards, you teach them how to live it out every day. So the vision was not to get a whole lot of folk to just follow the philosophy. The vision was to get folk that will live this thing out so God can use them. The vision was go and make disciples that will go out and make disciples, 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 that will go out and make disciples. In other words, this was not an end game. This was supposed to be the beginning, the end, the cycle. This ain't supposed to stop. I don't care who the pastor is. It's not supposed to stop. I don't care how many transitions happen. It's not supposed to stop. So, the vision, whether it's a mega church or it's a small church or whatever, can I tell you something? Ain't no such thing as either of those things.
All right, Pastor.
Because there's enough work to do among over 7 billion people on the planet to be able to what? Populate with folk that know Jesus for real.
Amen.
So guess what? You and I got work to do. We can do all kind of stuff. But the main thing is we need to leave out of here knowing that we have authority.
Yes, sir.
That we have power. that we have a witness, that we have a story, that we have the ability, that we have the word of God, that we have our experiences, and God will not fail us in the process, because the word says, and lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the world.
Amen.
Don't be scared.
Amen.
Don't shriek back. Don't come up with stuff because of your own journey.
Yes.
Your journey is useful.
Yes.
Your witness is useful.
Yes.
Time to go to work. It's time to go to work.
Amen.
I said it's time to go to work.
Amen.
When you get up out of here and you go out to eat and you sit at that table and you waiting on your food, and you waiting longer than you want to wait.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Don't look at that waitress or that waiter cross-eyed. They're at the mercy of how fast or slow the cooks are. Love on them, because they've probably been frustrated all day, trying to deal with folk that have been ugly to them all day long. Not giving them the proper tip, because even though they gave great service, those folk are cheap. Love on them and watch what God will do. When you go home today and you're with your spouse or with your family, stop looking at them cross-eyed because of how you felt from a week that you went through. Stop for a minute. Think about how good God has been to you. Stop all that stuff for a second and say, you know what? I need to embrace you, because I need the love you trying to show me. And I need to reciprocate that, because I know that if we love on each other, the devil can't even mess up our house. When you go to your job tomorrow and those folks try to mess with you before you had your coffee, and you just try to mind your business and you ain't trying to hear no mess, look at them square in the eye and say, you know what? I'm so glad you came by. And yes, I need to take about 5 seconds before we actually talk. But I want you to know that you ought to have a wonderful day today, because I'm going to do the same thing. Whatever you do, go to work.
Hallelujah.
Go to work. Don't be afraid. Don't shriek. Go to work.